Yes, indeed it does. And we thank you so much for being with us. That is Jason Ross. I am Damian Barling. Collectively, along with producer extraordinaire Chris Verlade, we are The Lowdown. If you missed any part of today's show, subscribe to The Lowdown Podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. Never miss a single episode. You can also like us on Facebook and get caught up on the show that way. But either way, we greatly thank you so much for being with us. If you want to be a part of the conversation, and so many of you are here on the text line at 44-1140. I do want to share a couple of these for you, Jason, before we move on. The Kings are off their dropped their third straight to the Blazers last night. We'll touch on that just briefly. Really not a lot to take away from that game. They got two more coming up this week before the preseason wraps up and the regular games get underway next week. But we will touch on that in just a minute. Jason and I will also have our winners and losers of week five of the NFL season. But there are a couple of texts I want to share with you. John has been waiting patiently. John, we appreciate it. You wanted to jump in here?
Yeah, how you doing, Damian?
Doing well, man. Thanks for the call.
The question I had, or the statement I wanted to make, is that it's difficult to have a rational conversation about emotional issues. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that, you know, the NFL, they've become entrenched in their position, and I'm sure the players are probably going to do the same. So anytime you want to have a rational discussion where you just want to get the opinions out there in the open, but if they're emotional issues, it's never going to work. Because when you start talking about the flag and you start talking about patriotism and you start talking about Black Lives Matter or whatever the issue is, it's an emotional hot spot for everyone. So nobody's going to be rational and be able to have a really productive discussion about the issue.
No, you're completely right, and I don't that doesn't just pertain to this conversation. That pertains to anything we're emotional about. I mean, John, we're in the sports talk business, and you know what's our favorite? You know, summertime conversation. Let's make a list.
Right.
Who's number one?
Yeah.
Who's number one at this? Who's number one at that? And people become so emotionally invested in it. The difference between talking about the greatest basketball player of all time, or the greatest basketball player right now, or talking about the greatest quarterback of all time, or the greatest quarterback right now, is it's not dangerous.
Right, there's no harm in it.
Yeah, the conversations that we're having now, because Donald Trump was involved and because there appears to be a line, and maybe it's imaginary for some of us, but there appears to be a line between black and white, these conversations become dangerous. And that's where it's no longer just an emotional debate, it's a dangerous conversation. And I can understand, believe it or not, why Roger Goodell wants this to end. I just don't know that
it's money.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. And Jerry almost acknowledged as much. In fact, Jerry Jones did acknowledge as much. He said, my business is the Dallas Cowboys, and my business is the advertisers for the Dallas Cowboys. Jemele Hill was suspended for ESPN. You can cross Donald Trump. You don't cross the NFL. Mm-hmm. And more specifically, you don't cross Jerry Jones. She didn't incite a boycott. She didn't say you should boycott. She just said, well, you could do this. And that was enough to get her suspended. You don't cross the NFL. And you're right. You're absolutely right, John. It's all about money.
All right.
Hey, we appreciate you.
Thanks,
my man.
John.
Thank you so much for the call. And I do want to say this. You know, we put off the conversation with Roger Goodell. You know, we knew we were going to talk about it. We had kind of put it off for just a little bit. The letter's gone out. It's a story because the national anthem thing has been a story that was really gone until Donald Trump started talking and players got their feelings hurt. And now the whole narrative behind this so-called national anthem protest has changed. And now we may be looking at an end to it in terms of the NFL. I don't know if that has to do with raised fist. I don't know if that has to do with staying in the locker room. It's not really clear, at least from the portions of this letter that were released publicly to Adam Schefter, what that means.
Yeah, and the irony of all this is the guy that this started around is Colin Kaepernick, and Colin Kaepernick had even said last year if he was or in the summer if he was back on a team, he wouldn't kneel. He wasn't going to make that part of. I mean, he still has his agenda and his issues and his things he's looking out for the better of a lot of people, which is great. But the thing that we're all kind of caught up in is attached to him, but he's ready to move on from that particular stance of it. And it's funny that it's still here.
And that statement was brought back this week as if it was just said again, because Colin Kaepernick had a conversation with someone who works for CBS Sports. And he actually had to come out and say, yeah, I didn't say that. you're recycling something I said at the end of last year.
Correct.
But again, Colin Kaepernick, he looks in tremendous shape, by the way, if you haven't seen him. He's not playing. I don't think he's playing this year. I don't think Colin Kaepernick is ever playing football again. We did get a text that I really wanted to share with you, and he thought we should be promoting it more and give it a little bit more love. This text came in. It's easy to raise a fist. So easy to raise a fist or take a knee. Players should do the hard thing and go into their communities with police and teach kids that cops are not the bad guy. Goes on to elaborate a little bit more, and I tried to inform this texter who was very responsive. By the way, this was one of some of the best texts that have ever come through. Maybe some of the emotion has been finally drawn out. We're all thinking a little bit more level-headed when it comes to this, but we've gotten some. We haven't gotten a single racist text yet. It's quite amazing. So God bless you. Maybe the racists aren't listening today, but God bless the people who, and I'm not saying everyone agrees with us, because a lot of time people don't agree with
us. That's fine.
But they share their opinion, and that is always what we want more than we want anything else. Regardless of what the topic is, we want you to share your opinion with us. But he's actually wrong. That text was saying it's easy to do this, it's easy to do that. You need to go out into the streets. If you go through a lot of NFL teams and NFL players' Twitter accounts, Instagram accounts, Doug Baldwin for one in Seattle, actually a number of Seattle players, you kind of go around the league. You'll see that a lot of players, a lot of teams are now working directly with their police force on this these exact issues. If you heard Doug Baldwin on CNN, I think it was last week with Michael Bennett, he was like, look, one of the things that we want We want more training for police officers. Like, why would you say no to that? Why would you be resistive against that? Why would you have a problem with that? We feel like there are some police officers that are undertrained or underqualified. We want them to have more training. There was a video that came out of, I think it was Northern California. I don't remember exactly where, but it came out of Northern California where this guy was shot with a taser. And, like, freaked out and started chasing the cop. And, you know, of course, every black person is looking at this like, well, I'd be dead.
Yeah.
And he's chasing the cop.
Yeah, the cop's running away.
Same day. Chris sent it to me. I hadn't seen it. Same day. A video in Salt Lake City. A black guy was handcuffed, and he tried to take off and run. He's handcuffed. They shot him. Dead. And it's like, okay, let's get past the surface issue here and look like these different sets of police officers reacted to a situation differently. Mm-hmm. There should be a uniform way that they react. And you can say, like, don't text me about how police officers put their lives in danger. You're right, they do. But they made that decision. They weren't drafted into the police force. Like, they weren't told, hey, Jason, I need you to give up your gig with the Kings, Sac State, and KHDK, and need you to go be a police officer. That's not how it works. They know the risk, and all that, at least the intelligent people who are involved in this protest are saying is, let's have more training for them. Let's have more, like, I don't think either one of those police officers in that situation reacted right. One guy ran away and potentially put everybody on the street in danger, and the other cops just killed him. There's got to be a middle ground somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think that was the impetus behind the whole protest. And I hate the term national anthem protest. It's the worst because no one is protesting the national anthem. It's a demonstration during the national anthem. And I look at those, and maybe that's just me being naive, as two very, very different things.
Well, we've associated it with the other. And then it gets to the, is it patriotic? Are you disrespecting the flag? That's where it's taken on a whole life of its own, but not the genesis of where it started.
That was in Tracy, according to the text line here. And again, thank you guys so much for the amazing text. Agree or disagree, we always want your opinion. My boss even takes joy at getting emails from you when these conversations come up. So feel free to look that address up and email him as well. Kings dropped their third straight last night. Lost to the Blazers 97-83. No De'Aaron Fox, no Garrett Temple, no Vince Carter, no George Hill, no Zach Randolph, no Costa Kufis. There's probably more, but none of those guys played last night. Willie did play. Buddy Hield played because you got to field a roster. Malachi Richardson was out there. It was not fun. If you watched it, and this game was on TV, it was not fun. It was not an enjoyable watch. If you were at the arena, it was probably just nice to be at the arena. But you talked with Dave Yeager earlier in the day, and coach had said, yeah, we got a pretty good idea of where we're going to go in terms of the starting lineup coming up next week. So I'm not sure what they're looking to get out of these next three games. But we had a conversation earlier, Jason, about how it appears the coaching staff is getting what they want and seeing what they were hoping to see out of practice.
Yeah, I think they're just playing whoever they can get out there the last two games on on Thursday and Friday. They did announce they waived Marcus Williams today, who was a guy that was kind of another guard, like the fourth point guard. They waived him, but they did sign Reggie Hearn and David Stockton today. So there's just adding more guys to the list, dropping one. Again, we're looking at guys that could be in Reno or end of the kind of rotation, if anything, type of guys. The main guys that didn't play last night, a few other guys that will be in the rotation did play, but this we just kind of have to get through this,
yeah,
the next two games, and then it starts next
week.
Don't
get hurt.
Exactly.
Nobody get hurt.
Yeah.
So, again, next game is coming up on Thursday and one on Friday. Of course, you can get both of those games here on your home of the Sacramento Kings, Sports 1140 KHDK. Winners and losers?
Let's do it.
Week 5 of the NFL season. We just came off a pretty heavy topic, so let's go positive first.
Okay.
You'll give us your first winner?
Sure, and it's a pressing, I mean, top-of-the-mind one right now, but I think it's Adrian Peterson. I know it's tied into the fresh news of the day. He was traded, if you hadn't heard, goes from the Saints to the Arizona Cardinals. And this isn't just, hey, the Saints getting rid of him just to get out of their hair. I think it's, if Adrian Peterson finished his career the way this year went with New Orleans, still a fantastic career, but that's just a fizzle out. Like, that's just, boy, he was great, and then whoosh, there's the cliff, and he jumped off the cliff. There was nothing else. I still think there's something left. He's going to be put in a spot where they're going to play him to see if he has something left. So to me, he's a winner because this is one of the great running backs we've seen, certainly in the last decade, but one of the greater ones that's ever been in the league. And I think he's going to get another opportunity. I don't know that he's got a ton left, but I do think he's got something left. So I think Adrian Peterson for me is a winner.
Okay. I don't feel the way that you do.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
I think he's
going to have a week where we'll come in on a Monday,
yeah,
and we'll go, wow, 120 yards and he's got something.
And see, I wouldn't be shocked if he did, and then I'd be like, okay, I get it now. You're right. New Orleans was a bad fit, and I loved your example that you used earlier about DeMarco Murray,
mm-hmm,
how for whatever reason it just didn't make sense in Philadelphia, and it just didn't work, or more specifically, it just didn't work with Chip Kelly.
Right.
And then
he's
been
good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the best running backs in the entire league. So I hope you're right because that makes Arizona more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I still think them being that middle of the tier team that doesn't make the playoffs puts them in a weird position for next year.
I agree.
Because I believe they're losing Carson Palmer.
And they don't have their next quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Blaine Gabbert, right?
They don't have their next quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of my winners, Jason, is your Jacksonville Jaguars defense.
Okay.
I'm going to reference their defense specifically. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, who will come up on the other side of this column here as we progress here in this 2 o'clock hour. But the Jaguars defense has been really good. They've had moments of not just being really good, they've had moments of being great. They've been able to penetrate offensive lines. They've been able to get to quarterbacks. They've been able to force turnovers at a rate where they already have more turnovers this year, 15, than they had all of last year, which was 13. And that Steelers, that win against the Steelers, I think, you know, again, the Steelers are going to come up again later. There's plenty of things to point at that they did wrong, but a lot of that was because of how Jacksonville played. By the way, this just in, breaking news, they still don't have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Bortles still stinks. So the fact that they were able to beat the Jaguars with Blake Bortles not even throwing for 100 yards shows you how impressive that defense was.
All right, I have a winner that's the same team. I just changed sides of the
Please
ball.
Please don't say Blake Bortles.
No, I'm not going there. I knew that. Leonard Fournette. Here's the rookie that's number two in the NFL in rushing, only behind Kareem Hunt. He's almost halfway to 1,000. 6 touchdowns, had his best rushing day, did it to Pittsburgh, 180 yards on the ground. And Leonard Fournette, I thought, was going to be a good pro. So far, so good. And Jacksonville doesn't have a lot of things they can brag about. They've got the defense you talked about. And right now, Leonard Fournette seems to be another good one. He's a winner for me.
You're 100. I thought of you as Leonard Fournette took off for 90 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I wonder if Jay, you know how in the cartoons the heart starts beating out of the chest? I thought that might be what was happening.
It would have, but in the survivor pool for fun here, wink, wink, at work. Yeah, I picked Pittsburgh. Thanks, Big Ben.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Tough way to go.
Otherwise, I would have had the thought bubble with the hearts going.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Philadelphia, I'm a broken record. Sorry, and I'm going to do it every week until they're not. We had said last week. I think we did it in one small thought last week where we were talking about Philly. If they can get their veteran wide receivers that haven't been involved in Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey more involved, they could continue to get better as we head into the second, third, and fourth quarter of the season. Well, we're one game into the second quarter of the season, and Torrey Smith had a breakout game. Mm-hmm. If that continues to happen with guys like Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey, and they continue to have the running presence that they have, Carson Wentz continues to develop, that defense continues to be as good as it has, Philadelphia, to me, right now, is in the conversation as the class of the NFC, and they are certainly the class, right now at least, of the NFC East. So I'm going to, again, and will continue to until I can't, put the Philadelphia Eagles on the winners list.
All right, my last of my winners, I'm actually going to put them here because it might be the only time, but it's the AFC East. I think it's generally the least interesting division in football. I don't know that it really is interesting now, but it is for the moment because the Patriots have come back down to earth. They all won with the exception of Buffalo. Everybody is 500 or above. I still think the Dolphins are a mess. I don't believe in the Jets. But where we are currently at this moment after this last week, Dolphins 2-2, Jets 3-2, Patriots 3-2, and the Bills 3-2. So it's made the division, for the moment, at least 5 weeks in, more interesting. I don't know that it'll last, but I'll put them in the winners at least for 1 week.
They lost, but he won. Rookie quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. That boy good.
Yeah.
That boy real, real good. Last two games, 544 yards, 10 touchdowns, one interception. That was an offensive explosion between those two teams this past week. And I know some of those, I guess to a certain degree, some of them were garbage points there for Deshaun Watson. But that guy has proved to be very, very capable at that position. And every time he does something spectacular and every time Houston does something right, I want Bill O'Brien fired.
Yeah.
I know that is such reverse thinking. It is so stupid because I just – you sat him for an entire half. It's like I act like he sat him for a season. Right. Or like – I'm still so curious with Bill. Like, why, Bill? Why?
It was a valuable half. He learned a lot.
Apparently. That sitting and watching, who was it? I can't remember. Tom Savage.
Yeah.
The Macho Man. Mm-hmm. Watching him for that 30 minutes has gotten Deshaun Watson to where he is today. But he's on my winner list for sure.
I'm tapped out of winners. You have any more?
No, let's move to losers. My loser list is a little bit longer.
Let's go there. I didn't know where to label this, and I said fans, and the way I'm putting the fans as losers here is NFL injuries. It's reality. We know it's every week, but Damian, now we're talking about high-profile players. I mean, people that fans love, J.J. Watt, Odell Beckham. I want to see those guys play. So we all lost a little bit of something, even if you're not a Giants fan or a Texans fan. But those two high-quality, world-class athletes and some of the better NFL players out there, and there are other guys that have been injured, and little things, nagging injuries, they always happen. But this week, particularly, to lose those two faces of franchises, high-level, entertaining players, as fans, I think we all kind of lost a little bit.
100% agree. I really do feel for the Giants. It's just unthinkable that they lost virtually their entire receiving corps. Mm-hmm. You lost one of the most you mentioned two of the most dynamic players in the entire league. The Giants lost the most dynamic offensive player that they've had. I've noted, I don't think teams lost anything in terms of those two injuries because the Giants were going nowhere fast, and Houston has gone somewhere without J.J. Watt. I was looking forward to seeing if J.J. Watt was going to progressively get better throughout the year. He hasn't been great, by the way. It's just I'm sorry that he's hurt, but he hasn't had a good start to the season, and I didn't think that he would. And we talked – it's a back injury, dude. Like, you don't just – it's just not bet. Name one.
Yeah, you don't snap.
I know everyone goes to Joe Montana. Like, okay, good. What about Larry? What about Dwight? What about Steve Nash? Like, there aren't very many examples of guys coming back from back injuries. Tony Romo, who just turned out to be okay.
Right.
But I was hoping J.J. Watt was going to get better throughout the year, but I think Houston will be okay. I'm really sorry, guys. Your Raiders are on the top of the list. They should not have lost to the Baltimore Ravens. You can Jared Cook, do your job. Crabtree did a good job of helping out EJ Manuel. They seem to have given up at least for this one game. They gave up on Amari Cooper. the offensive line was just a smidge bit better. You used the term yesterday. They were chasing the game for the entire game. And it's hard to pinpoint one thing that went wrong with that. I mean, you could point to the secondary. Mm-hmm. You could point to the defense if you want to. But their offense put their defense in a pretty crappy position, and it's hard not to put the Raiders at the top of that list.
I'm with you, and I just targeted one. It's Amari. I went to Amari Cooper just because I'll give you a bad week. That's one. Okay, it's fine. Two, it's a little alarming. That's three in a row. Something's wrong. Something's not right, whether it's, yeah, your quarterback's not there. Sometimes the backup isolates on you. That didn't happen. Only two targets, two catches in the last couple of weeks. I think three total in 3 weeks, four, something like that. It's just, it's bizarre. It's alarming. I don't have an answer for it. He's definitely on my loser list.
I had a guy who lost a game on the winner's list, and now I have a guy who won a game on the loser's list. Because, as it was famously once said, sometimes when you win, you actually lose. And sometimes when you lose, you actually win. Sometimes when you win or lose, you actually tie. And sometimes when you tie, you actually win or lose. You know who said that?
I have no idea.
It's Rosie Perez and White Men Can't Jump.
I should have known that.
And we all lost.
Yeah.
If you saw any part of Jay Cutler out on the football field.
When are they switching? When
we
are they
lost.
Doing it?
The Dolphins won. That's what you kept telling me yesterday, right? The Dolphins won.
2-2.
Dolphins won. Dolphins won. Every time Jay Cutler steps on the field, we lose. His season, 706 yards, three touchdowns, three interceptions. Do you remember the stat that I just gave you regarding Deshaun Watson, his last two games, the 544 yards, 10 touchdowns, and one interception? Ben Roethlisberger, did I give you his – not Ben Roethlisberger, Cam Newton, did I give you his last two games where he had like – what did he have? 700-some-odd yards, nine touchdowns, one interception in the last 2 weeks? This dude is sleepwalking his way to $10 million. And it's embarrassing.
Yeah, shame on you, Miami.
We all lose. But he knows the system.
Well, there we go.
He knows the system, and nothing else is important. I have a couple of more losers that are worth getting out there, and Jay Ross and I will also look ahead to week six of the NFL season as the lowdown continues here on Sports 1140. welcome back into the lowdown. Something popped up on my Twitter feed and realized that I'm terribly sorry for neglecting this. It looks like the White House is still really, really busy addressing the tragic situation that is going on in the NFL regarding athletes sitting and standing and kneeling for the national anthem. And they haven't taken one opportunity to tweet or speak about. There's an area within earshot of this radio program that has been burning for the last several days. And I have a lot of family in the Bay Area. There's a lot of people here in this building that have, and there's a lot of people listening. There are a lot of people in this area, but I'm sure they're doing far more important things than listening to the two of us. But we do want to send our love out to Santa Rosa and just so many areas that are just literally on fire right now. So many areas were destroyed. Watching the pictures from some of my families and friends that were out there on social media yesterday, just, you know, churches and homes and schools, so much destroyed out there. It's absolutely just gut-wrenching. And I think that the governor declared California in the state of emergency. I could be wrong on that. I was trying to look into that before the show started, but we got a little sidetracked and just brutal. And again, this station goes a pretty damn long way.
Oh yeah,
and we know a lot of people out there have always supported not just us but KHDK as a whole. So again, I'm sure many of you are doing far more important things than listening to us. But we do want to take at least 2 seconds to send our I hate the term thoughts and prayers. Like this, we're doing a radio show. I don't know what else we can say or do at that time, and I know it's the trendy thing to say thoughts and prayers, but literally we are thinking of you, and there are people here associated with the CBS who are putting together things to try to help as many, you know, just help
whatever
as much
way.
As yeah,
yeah,
just help as much as we can. So just know if it's you or if it's your family or if it's your friends or you used to live out there and didn't anymore, just know that we're thinking about you right now for sure. And we're hoping that situation gets under control and people can start getting their lives back in order, at least the best that they can. A difficult transition here, but I did want to take a couple of seconds to acknowledge that, because those images are really, really tough to see as they come across many social media platforms right here. We're wrapping up our thoughts on week five of the NFL season. You had a couple more people that didn't or a couple more entities that didn't perform up to standards this week.
Yeah, another loser for me. This is just a broad brush for them, but Browns quarterbacks, because
all of them.
Yeah, all of them on the list. They went after Kaiser. Okay, I didn't agree with it, but that's fine. You know, as an organization, you go for it. They've now benched him. Whether or not he starts this week, they bring in Hogan. They had Kessler last year. They've had multiple guys, and the problem is, Damien, I already feel like their next quarterback is in college right now or on another team. So they're going to do this again. Like they can't get in front of it. They can't find the right guy. They can't commit to one. No, so just all of them, Browns quarterbacks.
Could have drafted Carson Wentz.
Could have.
Could have drafted Jared Goff.
Could have.
Probably could go through a long list of quarterbacks they could have drafted who have proved to be pretty damn successful and didn't.
Which also begs the question, let's give him Carson Wentz, who's done well.
Sure.
Would he?
Yeah.
In Cleveland. Like, is it them? Or is it, you know, that's kind of the
I think I can answer. Yeah. I think I do. It is them.
Yeah.
Because how can you make so many mistakes, Jason, just year after year after year after year? You make so many mistakes. They're just not – every time you draft a quarterback, you lose the ability to draft an offensive lineman.
Right.
Every time you draft a quarterback, you lose the opportunity to draft someone at another skill position. Or you lose to draft an opportunity to draft someone on the defensive end. You can accumulate 100 draft picks if you want to. It's the argument that we used to have with previous front offices for the Sacramento Kings. You could have all the draft picks you want, but your drafting record is pretty crappy, so what does it matter?
Right, because I don't think a guy like Johnny Manziel would have been good anywhere else. I think he would have been a mess, but he also probably went to about the worst spot. So,
Do you want your boy going to your UCLA product?
No. No. I don't. I wouldn't even wish that on Sam Darnold either.
I don't know how you've – wow.
Yeah.
That's how serious this situation is.
I mean, they're a mess.
Yeah, it's bad, and I don't know how you fix it. It's not like the NFL can step in and say, "Dude, you've really screwed this up. We're gonna send some people in here to fix this." Because it would be nice if you guys didn't stink.
Yeah,
it's so odd because when you go through their records, there was like 1 year with Derek Anderson. I think they were 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
They missed the playoffs that year. They were 10-6. The next year, they fall back off the map.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'll stay in the division. I'll go with Ben Roethlisberger. In fact, not just Ben Roethlisberger. Let me go with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because when you look at their team, it's hard to imagine a better constructed team. Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger at the quarterback position, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. All those guys are in the conversations for best at what they do. You got one guy flipping Gatorade coolers, getting mad during the game. You got another guy doing post-game press conferences saying, maybe I don't have it anymore. He's already talked about retirement before. Then you have another guy who's saying, man, we should have just run the ball more. They're a mess, and they shouldn't be. And I don't think they're going to be next week or the week after. But this just is all so inexcusable from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got to do better. They're way too good to be this dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Way too good.
What continues to happen to that team right now.
Any more on your list?
That was it for me.
You know, we did injuries, so I'll kind of leave the New York Giants out. I actually don't want to put them on the loser list just because I feel so bad for them. Like, they just – and I'm not a fan, but they were just decimated. We've talked – I did have Jerry Jones on my loser list. It's really hard for me. Like, you know how I feel. I don't want to support that guy.
Yeah.
I really don't. Like, he can't have my money anymore. I love Dak and Zeke. And I love the star, and I love Jason Witten, and there are some quality guys there. But year after year, and it's not just the Donald Trump thing. Donald Trump was the one who pointed this out in the NFL. Like, really? He pointed it out in the NFL policy manual? He did? Really?
Yeah.
He's read that? Y'all didn't know? 32 NFL owners didn't know, but he did? It's not just the publicly saying, telling players to stand. It's just it all feels like a charade. You have all of this, and then you go back to Greg Hardy, calling him a leader. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that you even brought Greg Hardy in, the fact that there have been 15 Dallas Cowboys suspended in the last 6 years, it's really, really hard to support him. And I don't they masked him being a Hall of Famer by the Cowboys winning those Super Bowls. When he's a Hall of Famer because he's made the NFL a the NFL as a whole a substantial amount of money, and
right.
he operates the Dallas Cowboys in a way that no one else operates their team. But it's just really, really difficult as a fan of the Dallas Cowboys to support him. Like, he is just the freaking worst. And I hate that why does he have a radio show? Can you name one other owner? Does Robert Kraft have
it's got to be the GM angle, right? Because I always used to wonder that about why is anybody asking him anything about personnel? Like, well, I guess he is the guy but every time every game he's reacting to how they play.
Hey, you know what? This is a perfectly fair text right here. Sorry, but Zeke isn't a standout citizen, Damien. You're right. He's not.
But you like him as a football player.
I do, and I hope he's also a Buckeye, and I hope he gets his life together. But it feels like no, you're right. That's a perfectly fair text, and it feels like he's headed down just the wrong path.
Yeah.
And you hope that he corrects it. He has plenty of time to do so, and I hope that he does. Let's look ahead to week 6 of the NFL season. There's some marquee matchup, Jason. There's a really good Thursday night football game with 2-4-1 teams. We will talk about that, and we will put a bow here on this Tuesday show when we get back here in 4 minutes on the Lowdown. It's 2:45, time to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Golden One Center. Great events now through October 15th, including Kings Fan Fest. Get details at goldenonecenter.com/anniversary. Hey, John, thanks for the call.
No problem. How are you guys this afternoon?
We're doing well.
Good. And I'm really sorry if this comment is coming out of context. I didn't happen to get back until I heard the tail end of your last comments. But you were I heard you guys talking about, you know, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys. Miami, everything that's going on.
Sure.
I didn't know if what you guys were talking about was the kneeling situation and how some of the owners seem to kind of be getting together and saying, well, we're not putting up with that. And the reason why I thought that is because when you guys said, well, Trump knew this and these owners didn't. What I think it's more of a matter of is what Trump said in the beginning is that and I'm not – this is nothing political. I'm not taking any side. But, you know, Trump even came out and said, this is not about race. He said, I don't care if you're white, Hispanic, African-American. I don't like it. And he said that I think a lot of these NFL owners are going to realize they're in for trouble. You're having sponsors pull out.
I'm sorry, John. I try not to interrupt you people call very hard. But I do want to say you might be behind on this story a little bit, as there was a letter that went out from Roger Goodell today to the NFL owners, sure. And it appears that a number of NFL owners have gotten together. I think the appearance is out of it. They have, and it looks like unless the NFLPA, unless there is this is somehow against collective bargaining rules, there's going to be a rule implemented that players have to stand for the national anthem beginning next week.
Okay, and I really appreciate you filling me in on that. Cause
sure.
I as of this morning when I heard the morning show, what Carmichael Dave was saying is the rule was that they should stand, but
yep.
it wasn't mandated. So
that's correct.
I was uninformed on that. Thank you.
That's correct. No, absolutely, John. We appreciate the call. And that is the wording in the NFL in-game policy now, and that is the wording that the owners are looking to change.
Right.
Let's look ahead here, Jay Ross. We've noted a couple of times Kings basketball has a big week. Thursday, Friday, back-to-back, of course, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Clippers and Warriors coming up Thursday and Friday, respectively. There is a hell of a football game. At least I think there's a hell of a football game.
Yeah,
coming up on Thursday. And that's the Eagles at the Panthers, 2-4-1 teams. I told you earlier I'm really big on the Eagles. Carolina is significantly better than I gave them credit for heading into the year, but I'm going to watch this one as a fan.
Yeah,
and
you got Cam's playing better. That's encouraging. We were kind of wondering their first couple weeks they were getting wins, but I'm like, who is Carolina really? What have they done? Well, when they went to New England and won this last week, they beat Detroit. So they've got a couple of good wins in a row. Philadelphia, we've been talking about them all day, how balanced they are, how well Carson Wentz is playing, good offense, defense, special teams. They're really playing well. I hope that game plays out as it should, but sometimes you get the Thursday games and one team's not at their best, either healthiest or needing all those days to prep like you normally do. So I hope it still plays out to be what should be a good game.
It's not the sexiest week of college football. It's not the sexiest week of NFL games. But I think that is the marquee matchup, and I think the worst thing about it is it's Thursday.
Yeah. What about the AFC one on Sunday with the Chiefs and the Steelers? If Pittsburgh had won this last week, it'd have been 4-1 versus 5-0, but they did lay an egg.
So right, which actually I think makes this game just as compelling, because you have the Pittsburgh, and it's worth noting they're going into Arrowhead, and they're coming off the egg that they laid at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So now to bounce back from that loss, to bounce back from the five interceptions, you're going against one of the top, could be one of the top defenses in Kansas City at times, though it looks like they just kind of gave up on playing defense against Houston once they got enough points on the board. But you have two AFC powerhouses, but you're being, you put yourself in a position where you got to bounce back against from a bad loss against the Jacksonville Jaguars to now walk into Arrowhead, a very, very difficult place to play, and get back to your winning ways.
Yeah, I think that loss may either refocus Pittsburgh or continue them on a tough spiral, because, I mean, they're playing a really good team. Speaking of balance, that's Kansas City. So, yeah, I think the other thing, though, that all those late touchdowns that Deshaun Watson threw, and a lot of them were just kind of, hey, let's just get the ball downfield. Well, that's what Roethlisberger was trying to do this week. Maybe that'll be an area that they can try to go after Kansas City a little bit.
Who would have guessed this? For sole possession of the top spot in the AFC East.
Yep.
The New England Patriots at the New York Jets.
Jets have won 3 in a row. If they win 4 in a row, I'll be surprised.
Holy smokes.
I will be surprised.
If they win 4 in a row.
Because people thought that might be their ceiling of wins is 4. Maybe even less.
That was a stretch.
Yeah.
4 was pushing it.
Had to get 4 in a row?
Pushing it real good.
Yeah. Janet.
is Janet Jackson going to be at the downtown Chowdown this weekend?
I think so. Yeah.
Nope. Let's not get that out there. It's actually salt and pepper, but... Yeah. Maybe they'll cover Janet Jackson's Push It.
Always.
Yeah, I hope so. It's always really good when they cover that song. Rams at Jaguars.
Sneaky good game.
Yeah, my love against your love.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think Jacksonville, we'd feel pretty good about them if they had a better quarterback play. But defense and running game is good. Rams, little setback last week, but I think that might be all that was.
If only there was something they could do about that quarterback position. You mentioned the 49ers. They're going to Washington, potentially playing the future quarterback of their team. This actually has ugly written all over it.
Yeah, nothing's a given, but I feel really strong that Washington wins this one.
Washington's coming off the bye. They're
pretty good.
Yeah, they're not bad at all.
Niners, 2 straight weeks of traveling. They compete. That's great. That's a starting point, but if you're 0-16 and you compete every week, that's not fun.
Outside of that, Jason, I don't know what's there this week to be really compelled, guy. You got the Browns at the Texans. You mentioned the Packers and the Vikings earlier, which is compelling. It's a divisional game.
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone listening thinks the Packers are in danger in that game.
The only way would be Rodgers has some trouble with that defense before, but
I'm not
picking it.
You got to get something from Case Keenum.
Right.
You have to get something from Case Keenum. It's great. Shutting Aaron Rodgers down means maybe 200 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. But you could lose 20-7 or 10,
and that's it.
Doesn't matter. You're out.
We mentioned this one earlier as well. The Lions at the Saints. The Lions could be in trouble playing with if they're either playing without Matt Stafford or they're playing with a very hobbled Matt Stafford. Either way, this is a game that the Saints need to take advantage of. They're coming off a bye week, also.
Yeah, and if they do, all of a sudden, again, I like that division. That'd get them to 3-2 and 3 straight wins. So when they were looking buried, they've traded Peterson. Not that he was, hurting them per se. He really wasn't doing anything. But now. They like Kamara. They like Ingram. They can let those guys run.
The late CBS game, and, of course, the late game for us here on Sports 1140 will be your Oakland Raiders hosting the north of San Diego Chargers.
Be careful, Raiders. Better be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not panicked yet, but another week of bad play. We're getting real close to the panic button.
But are you comfortable?
No.
You're not panicked, but are you comfortable?
Not at all.
This is not a good week of this. Now, of course.
Which means they'll be the best games of the year.
Exactly. I mean, the primetime games. You know what else is funny that I noticed? Look at these primetime games. So when ratings are talked about, when NFL ratings are talked about, it's mostly focused on the primetime games. Sometimes Fox windows are thrown in and CBS windows are thrown in, but we're really talking about NBC Sunday Night Football, which has the 0-5 New York Giants.
Yeah.
Against the Denver Broncos. Monday Night Football is the 2-3 Colts and the 2-3 Titans. No Andrew Luck. Probably no Marcus Mariota. We're in a state in the world right now with this NFL conversation. We were just talking about the national anthem. That both sides, the people who are for Cap and are really upset that Cap isn't in the league, and believe there is a systematic form of racism taking place within the NFL. And then the people who are so angry about these guys taking a knee during the national anthem or not coming out of the locker room during the national anthem, both sides are taking credit for a ratings decline that actually isn't there. I find that amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, look, we told you, you guys need to sign Kaepernick and we'll watch football again. And then the other side is going, see, look, told you, we want you guys to stand up for the national anthem. It's
right.
Like, man, like it's like everybody's boycotting the NFL and claiming this big ratings loss, but it's not there.
Yeah.
However, this week, when you look at those two primetime games, oh,
yeah,
that's got ugliness written all over it. And now we got some the league championship series is going to be starting here pretty soon. Jay Ross and I spent some time earlier talking about the Yankees forcing that deciding game, which will be tomorrow against Cleveland. Astros close things out against the Red Sox, and Cubs are up 2-1 on the Washington Nationals. That game is taking place today.
Yeah, they're still delayed. I think there's some weather issues in Chicago, but yeah, I think the totality of I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to be on a decade-long, maybe longer, maybe lifetime-long of ratings decreases from just in every sport. There's more things. There's more cable cutting going on. People are watching sports in different ways. Then when you get to Super Bowls, all of a sudden, hey, that's the highest-rated Super Bowl because that's the event. That's the biggest thing. And so if you're doing week by week, I think we're going to just drop in every sport. I think it's happening.
There was a couple of weeks ago. This is going to sound so stupid. A couple of weeks ago, my power went out.
Mm-hmm.
And it went out for like an hour. And it, after like about 10, 15 minutes, it was on a Sunday. It's like, I'm going to take my dog. I'm going to take the dogs out. We're going to go for a walk, go hang out, do whatever. And there was a this is going to sound so ridiculous. There was a certain feeling of like relaxation that there was nothing. Because for us watching football is, we enjoy it, but we're also paying attention to it. We're like, what are we going to talk about tomorrow?
What's the story?
And there was a certain like,
yeah.
So, you know, when you can consume highlights on your phone, when you can get the entire story of a game in 2 minutes at the latest, it's hard to, like, continuously walk away from that stuff when you're paying potentially hundreds of dollars to have cable just to see that stuff.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. And it's not just football. It's sports.
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
And when you got Hulus and Netflixes.
And more choices
and
of all
Apple
stuff.
TVs and all of that stuff. Thank you guys so much for being with us today. Thank you so much for people who participated in the show. Thank you for these texts and the phone calls. We appreciate every single one of them. We will see you tomorrow at noon.